Mistake that God works in our hearts so that we can come and gather together in such situations, even like this online, in a room. God is never limited how he speaks to us, and we're here today to learn from him. We're here today also to worship him in spirit and in truth, and to listen to what the Spirit is saying to us in these last days. Praise God. But before we start, let's commit our time into the Lord's hands. Heavenly Father, again this morning, this is the day the Lord's made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, who guides us and leads us. But the Holy Spirit is also the one who glorifies and lifts the mighty name of Jesus. And you said, if I be lifted up, then I will draw all men unto me. And so we commit our time. We thank you that our covering is the blood of Jesus. And we confess the blood of Jesus over this meeting and over the connection and all saints who will come into the room. And above all, we commit the word of God into your hands now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Well, I'd like to speak a bit this morning about the deeper life, because that is what God has given to us, the deeper life in the Spirit. That is that we can go as far and as deep as we want in the Spirit with Almighty God, because God has poured out his Spirit in the last days, as Joel says, baptizing us in the Holy Spirit, so that it's a doorway to go deeper and as far as we want with Almighty God. And I'm going to be preaching again on deeper life principles. And this morning we're calling our teaching, for those who like to take notes, are you willing to be poured out as an offering? Are you willing to be poured out as an offering? And I want to base our teaching today on Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. And the book of Philippians is an interesting book, because Paul wrote this to believers, thanking them for their help, financial help in his hour of need. And he's coming back to them, writing to them. And in this epistle, he very much marks out his life that is poured out as an offering to the church, to the saints. And of course, he writes this as a principle to us as to how we're to walk. And God wants us, if we love Christ's body, we love the body of Christ, then we are going to see, if we are set into the body of Christ, where we too are ready to be poured out as an offering to be used in which to help to build the body of Christ in these last days. And so as he sets that example and in his writings, so we likewise are to be an example to each other in the body of Christ, willing to be used in whatever way God wants to work through us in order to build his body in the last days, in order also not only for his glory, but that the body of Christ indeed will stand through the trials and tribulations that are coming upon the world. And so that is really where he's coming from. And I want to read it out, this out in verse 17 of chapter 2 of Philippians. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you. So the big question today that is raised, are you willing to sacrifice yourself for the work of another and for a believer? In other words, to pour out your life sacrificially for the ministry and faith of others. Because that's really the ultimate of what God is doing today with true disciples of Christ. I'm talking now primarily of those who are going on, who mean business with God, who have this consecration, who desire to be a disciple, to follow Christ. I'm not talking about just mere church members. We have myriads of people who are just mere church members, who are just going from one place to another. We're talking here about where God has got hold of a life and revealed that there is a deeper walk with him. This is why we call it the deeper life, because you can go as deep and as far as you want. But of course, this deeper life, this going as deep and as far as you want with God, has to be empowered, has to be given. It doesn't lie in our own strength. We can't do this in ourselves. And so the only way that this can be achieved in the life of a disciple is Romans 12, 1 and 2, where you are willing as yourself to present yourself as a living sacrifice, laying yourself, spiritually speaking, on that altar. Take all of me. Here I am. Do what you will with me. And of course, if we mean that and we desire that, then God's grace will enable that, and he will begin to work with that offering. And that offering is you, is me. Because as we know, we can do no more than offer ourselves. What else can we give God? When we offer ourselves, when we give ourselves, we're giving our all, our will, our heart, our emotions, our affections, our desires, everything that makes us human beings, we are offering as ourselves upon that altar, that God will take that up and begin to work and manifest himself in and through each one of us. This is what we mean by this. This is what the Apostle Paul is showing here to these Christians in these letters, in these epistles. So we pour out our life sacrificially for the ministry and the faith of others and for the body of Jesus Christ. Or are we saying, in a sense, I'm not willing to be poured out right now? I don't want God to tell me how to serve him. I want to serve God in my capacity, in my time, when I want to, when it suits me. You'll soon find that that doesn't work. You have to learn that God is sovereign. And when he challenges us, when he speaks to us, when he calls us, he never, ever makes a mistake. And so we soon have to learn that whatever God is speaking into our lives, he will enable that, he will empower that to be done for his glory. And this is where many Christians go wrong. This is where they are not in the faith as they should be, because they have run away thinking, I have to do this. I have to give up all things. I've got to give up everything. The giving up, as the Bible shows us, is a giving up of attitude, of affection in the heart. For God always works first in the heart, in the emotions, in the affections. This is where he circumcised. He circumcises us now spiritually. And it is a circumcision of the heart. And that circumcision of the heart is a changing of the heart of stone to flesh. For we will never, ever do anything unless the affection, the desire, is within the heart. Now, how God works those affections and desires within us works differently with each one of us. Because we're all different. We're fearfully and wonderfully and complex. We're made in the image of God. This is why psychiatrists and psychologists, they don't really understand man. They help to a certain extent, but they can't change the heart. They can't change the emotions. This is why so often you see people going back to situations. You see people trying to get off drink or off drugs or whatever it is. And they go through all this rehab and money spent on it. And 9 times out of 10, they find themselves going back eventually to it. These are strong, addictive spirits. But with God, it is possible for those things to be broken over our lives. These curses to be broken over our lives. You know, it's amazing, and probably a lot of you have seen it or programs on television, wives that have been abused or battered by their partners or their husbands. What do? In 2 weeks, a month later, they go back to them. And then it repeats itself again. And then they're protected, they go away, and then they go back to them. And when you talk to some of these people, do you know what they say to you? I don't know what it is. He has my mind. He has control over me. These, again, are spirits. And that can work in so many areas of our lives. Addiction is a control. And the only way that these controls can be broken is that we are willing to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And in time, God breaks the cords of control over our lives. And controls work in so many ways. Families can be very controlling. Mother or father can be very controlling over the children, or vice versa. It works in so many ways. And the nature of control is always witchcraft. Satan is behind that, because Satan controls this world at the moment, blinding the eyes of many. That is the nature of it. And only God can break the control that may be afflicting us. And so, you know, they are the cause of many problems, as somebody has just written here. But the wonderful good news of the gospel is that if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. And many of us are walking out of these areas of control that have held and fettered us for many years. Because God is always one step ahead. Governments sadly use control over countries, nations. It's a form of fear that they try to work. It is everywhere. This is why, brothers and sisters, in our prayers and intercessions, we're not up against flesh and blood when we pray, but we're up against these powers, demonic forces, these principalities that we war against. This is why you have to have a life of prayer, so that in your prayers and intercessions, many times you are warring against those forces, those things that are not only trying to control you, but you see that are trying to control others. This is how Satan so often works. And this is why it's so wonderful that God brings us together under the gifts that he sets in the church, the anointing, that unction of the Spirit, where he speaks deliverance, he speaks life into our hearts. I always believe that in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, if it is led by God and by the Holy Spirit, the provision for healing and deliverance is always there in that message. This is why I'm a great believer. After we've heard the Word of God, we are not the same people that we were an hour ago. That is the nature of the sword of the Spirit of God. It's working life in me, where once it was death. That is what's so wonderful about God's Word. So here we are. Are we willing to be those poured out offerings unto God, unto our brothers and sisters, to the church, the body of Jesus Christ? But you see, you can't choose your own sacrificial place. You can't do it when you feel like it, or when you want to. Or there are some that who want to have to be sacrificed. They want to do good works, but they want people watching them, what they're doing, so that they can get praise and recognition. I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, it doesn't work that way. Many, many times, what we do in faith for God and for each other can so often be behind closed doors, where nobody is watching or seeing, where many times you don't even get any recognition, or it appears sometimes that they attack or fight the hand that feeds them. This is what happens at times in the house of God. And are we going to be offended? Are we going to be hurt? Are we going to run away? Or are we just going to stay there because we're that drink that's being poured out as a sacrifice? You see, your brother, your sister may not recognize or see what you're doing, but the all-seeing eyes of Almighty God are seeing it. And your reward is in heaven. God doesn't turn his eyes away. He sees everything that we do. And he knows those who go that extra mile. He knows those who sacrifice, who are committed, who stay with it, who don't run away. He knows. He's not blind. And what do you hear sometimes when you feel down, or you just feel you've had enough? Somehow God's grace is sufficient at that point. It's wonderful, isn't it? You see, it's one thing to follow God's way of service if you're regarded, let's say, as a hero, but quite another thing if the road marked out for you by God requires becoming, say, a doormat. And many times for the overcomer and the deeper life in the Spirit is, at times, you're a doormat. You're a carpet. You're trod upon. You're used. You're taken for granted. How often do we see people in churches, in fellowships? We see a few all the time are taken for granted. Go that extra mile. Well, if we're really sensitive to the Holy Spirit and we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts and we love our brother and our sister, seeing those saints that go that extra mile, that are sacrificing, should spur us on. There's something within me, and I thank God for this, and I haven't learned yet, I'm still learning this, but when I see brothers and sisters, going that extra mile, making that sacrifice, something within me says, I too want to do that, Lord. What I see my brother, my sister doing there is right. That is what really glorifies your name. And so this is where we, if we're humble enough, can learn from one another. Jesus said, didn't he, by the fruit you will know them. Not by what they say, not by even how much they may pray or read the word or knowledge they have of the word, and all of that has a place. But Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. How do you know them? Because you see their sacrifice. You see that poured out sacrifice, what they're doing. It speaks to you. It challenges you. It causes you to see that is the way you walk as a believer and as a Christian. We need to be humble enough at times to learn from one another. And I see, even in my fellowship, brothers and sisters, and I see what they do, and I see that is good, Lord. I would like that in my life for your glory, to help build this church. That's how you grow as a disciple, not being aloof. I'm not going to get my hands dirty. That is not the nature and heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to serve. And he served to such an extent that he was willing and did offer up his life for the sake of the world. He left that example. The early church left that example. The Apostle Paul leaves that example. And we too leave that example if the Lord tarries. As the true body of Christ is going to dissolve, is going to go. And of course that's what the enemy wants. He wants to try and put that light out that is in the body of Christ, the church. He wants to dispel it, get rid of it. But we are lights in this world of darkness. And that light is a light of sacrifice. It's a light that's poured out as an offering. That is the true light that will stand in these last days, brothers and sisters. So we're going to be those doormats at times under people's feet. But you see, God's purpose may be to teach you to say, I know how to be abased. Philippians 4 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12, which says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Wow. Are we willing to be a poured out offering, to live a life like that, in spirit, in nature, in heart? Oh, you say, well, that was for the Apostle Paul, and that surely, it can't be for me. I mean, very, very few are consecrated for such a walk like that. Well, you've already missed it. You've already failed to see what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is about, being that sacrifice placed on the altar. Don't ever limit what God can and will do through each one of us. No, we're not Paul's. No, we're not Peter. You are you. Fearfully and wonderfully made new in Jesus Christ. Nobody else fits your shoes. Nobody else is you set in the body of Christ. Nobody else can fulfill your ministry that you have with the Lord. Nobody can walk like you walk with Christ. Yes, we are to look at one another and be encouraged by one another, but each one of you at the end of the day, you are your own man or woman in Christ Jesus. And you don't need to bow down and worship and have idols in your life looking to anyone else. The only one you look to is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's both the author and finisher of your faith. He is the one you emulate. He is the one that lives his life now in and through each one of us. As we decrease, that he increases. This is what this is all about, you see. So are you ready to be sacrificed like that? Are you ready to be less than a mere drop in the bucket, as they say? To be at times totally insignificant. No one remembers you. No one gives you thanks. They don't thank you for the service that you've done. Are you willing to give and be poured out until you are used up and even at times exhausted? And you can be. There are times I've been exhausted, going that extra mile. That doesn't make me anything or anyone. And no recognition, no thanks, nothing. And it's times you just think, is this worth it? You need to be a minister preaching the word. There are times when you feel, is it really worth it? But you have to know the one you're doing it unto. And that is for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow you find yourself coming back. Somehow you find yourself, one of the things I love about a dog is a very loyal and affectionate creature. You know, you can scold a dog, and the next thing, it'll come back with its tail wagging. It's amazing how you can learn from a dog. Yet we're not the same, are we? We can be offended, we can hold grudges, and so forth. Yet you see, the deeper life is that we're willing. These things are going to happen. But we're looking to the one who supports us, who strengthens us, who enables us to keep going when otherwise we would just retract and go back. You see, we're willing not to seek to be ministered to, but to minister. You see, some saints can't do menial work. Because they want to be spiritual, they want to be saintly. They feel that they have so much to do and to give for God. And to do menial work is below their dignity. That's called pride. And you know, pride sadly paralyzes so much of the house of God. Pride will never ever go that extra mile. Pride doesn't want to learn about serving. Pride only wants to look at being kingpin and at how I minister and how I do it. The church today wants power. They're power crazy. It's often what it's talked about. We need power in the church. That's pride speaking. No, they need to learn to serve, to be doormats, before ever power comes. We get it all round the wrong way. You see, we have to learn these principles of the deeper life. They're very, very important for us. And this is why we have the privilege of preaching this. So are you ready to be poured out as an offering? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. For I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. And he goes on, I fought this good fight and I finished the course. So the Apostle Paul is coming in a sense to the end of his ministry. There's something God is showing to him. He's showing that he's fought that good fight. He's done what God wants to do for him. He's made his life an offering, a drink offering. Now, what is the idea of a drink offering? Well, if you live in a parched, dry, barren, hot country, there's nothing like that lovely, cool water to quench the thirst. And this is the idea of what it is. This is what we are to each other and to our neighbor. We quench that thirst. We make life just a little bit easier, better, happier, fulfilled. And if I can do that for my brother, my sister, or my neighbor, I'm willing as an offering to do that. To quench that thirst, that suffering, what that person is going through. And brothers and sisters, we can not only take that spirit and nature and heart, but we can take that also over into our prayers and intercessions for one another as well. There are some in this room who are going through great suffering. And we have the great advantage to help quench their thirst. In whatever smallest way sometimes, we need to be touched with the love of God that causes us to move that extra mile, that causes us to move beyond ourselves, beyond our limitations, beyond our emotions and feelings, moving into the deeper life of the Spirit, willing to be used because we're that sacrifice laid out before Almighty God. Are you ready to be poured out as an offering? This is the question God's challenging today. Is it an act of your will or is it just your emotions? If your emotions have just been touched today, it'll never work. We have to appropriate everything by faith with what we hear, because faith comes by hearing the word of God, as it says in Romans 10:17. You need to tell God you are ready to be offered as a sacrifice for him. And then you have to accept the consequences in whatever way they come, without any complaints, in spite of what God may send your way. He might send trials, testings. He may send you through a trial where no other person goes, or no other person can even help you. There are times God will allow you to go through things where no one can help you. It's between you and God. God is meeting with you face to face. And it's no good going to someone else. It's no good trying to speak to somebody else, because they will not understand the depth of what God's doing and what he's saying, because sometimes it's between you and God. It's too deep. We have to be sensitive to that in those trials. God sends you through crisis in private, in other words. From the outside, your life may appear to be the same, normal, like any brother or sister, but the difference is that God is working with your will, so that you're both to will and do for his good pleasure. Some in this body, God's working right now with your wills, to surrender that will, to give it up. And God knows how to bring us to the end of ourselves, where we surrender our will. This is why God works through every situation that you go through. Everything in your life, God is ultimately bringing you to the end of your will. You see, our wills, when we will not to do God's will, what is happening there is it is your own independent spirit and will at that point. And fundamentally, what you are doing or saying is, I don't agree with what God's saying. I don't agree with what the teacher is saying. I think it's like this. I will do this. I will do that. I will do it my way. And sometimes God will say, okay, right, go on then and do it. And in the end, we find the disaster. We find it goes completely wrong, completely pear-shaped. And in the end, we find ourselves coming back to God. Lord, you were right. Why didn't I listen? Why did I fight against you? Why was there such a problem with my will? This is why when you surrender self, you surrender yourself on that altar, you're surrendering your will as well. And God will work with our will. Why am I making so much about the will? Because the will is being restored back, what Adam and Eve lost. We all know the story of Adam and Eve, that God gave them everything of the garden except one thing, the tree of knowledge of life. That they were not to touch. So they had everything, but God was testing the will. He was testing the affections. He's testing the heart, the desires. And of course we all know the story, what happened. They were tricked by the serpent, beguiled. And he twisted all that God had said. So man's will fell into captivity. He became a slave to his own will. That's what Satan wanted man to fall into. Because by becoming a slave to your own will, it means the enemy can have access. It means he now has access where? Into your mind. Because that's where he starts. He always starts with the mind. He messes around with your mind. But you see, the new birth, salvation, that new nature has overcome all of that. Your new birth, your new nature in Christ has even overcome your will. So that God will work now in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Oh, there may be a battle. There may be a bit of sulking, a bit of crying, tantrums. But God eventually will work so that you surrender your will to his will. Because God's never wrong. He's absolute perfection. He's everything other than we are. Everything that he desires and wills for you is absolutely perfect for your life. Surely he would know that. You're made in his image. And so he will work that. And so our wills are being restored and brought back, which Adam and Eve forfeited. Isn't that wonderful? The divine plan of how God works. And he's doing this where are we willing to be a poured out drink offering to the Lord. This is how he works this. As we give ourselves over back to him, we give our complete entire being, God then receives that and he begins to work. This is why we have the wonderful analogy that we are the clay and he is the potter. And the potter is working with that old clay, molding it into a beautiful vessel, filled for his glory and honor. These wonderful analogies that God reveals to us through the scriptures. And so you see, God sends you through trials. He sends you through all these various things because ultimately it's because he's working with your will. And you see, once you've experienced this crisis in your will, you'll take no thought of the cost when it begins to affect you in a sense externally. And you see, if you don't deal with God on the level of your will, if you don't deal with this, if you don't talk it out with God, and you've got a problem, your will is clashing with God's will, the alternative is You will look for something else to give you sympathy, to give you attention. You'll always turn to someone else, or you'll discuss it with someone else when God is just dealing with you personally. Because that is our problem. When we are fighting against God's will, we'll alternatively look for sympathy. Poor me. Look what I'm going through. Look at my trials I'm going through. Oh, you know? When probably your trial you're going through is because God's working with your will, my will. So you may say to me, well, Pastor, you've got my name and address on this morning. Well, praise God, because my name and address is here as well, even though I'm just a mouthpiece. So where do we go from here? Here we are, we're challenged. God's challenged us, he's spoken to us, he's exposed these things in our lives. So where do we go from here? Well, there's always hope, isn't there? This is the wonderful thing, that Jesus came with healing in his wings to set the captives free. And if you want to be free, then you will be free indeed, as the scriptures say. Turn with me now, if you will, to Psalm 118, verse 27. Psalm 118, and verse 27. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. So what do you do when challenged like this? There's only one thing you can do. Bind that sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Now, for those of you who don't understand what that means, under the old covenant, the altar would have four horns, two on each side. Now, a horn speaks of power. A horn was used as a sounding instrument. A horn could be filled. A horn speaks of strength. We see animals, oxen, cows and bulls and that, they have these horns. That's a sign of their power, their defense. Scripture shows that God can remove the horn from a nation. And he's going to remove horns from nations, which speaks of power, because they're misusing that power. And so there was also the horns that were placed on the altar. And if anyone had committed a crime, a murder, they could escape. And once they would hold those horns with their hands, they were guarded, protected. And that speaks of the mercy of God, that God is going to deal with this because they've held on to the horns of the altar. They're not going to let go. Their lives are desperate. They're willing to repent. They're willing to change. This is my only hope, holding on to the horns of the altar. That's why we hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't let go. The woman with the issue of blood knew that if she just touched him, even the hem of his garment, she would be healed, and she was. This is why for healing you have to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. You bind yourself to the altar. You hold to the horns of the altar. It's a sign of desperation. It's a sign of change. It's a sign my will needs to be changed. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's what we say in the Lord's Prayer. You've got to be willing to place yourself on that altar and go through the fire. Willing to experience what the altar represents. And what does the altar represent where these horns are? Burning, purification, separation, and for what purpose? the elimination of every desire and affection not grounded in or directed toward God or His Word. That is what He's doing ultimately with all of us. But the good news is, brothers and sisters, you don't eliminate it or change it. God does. You bind the sacrifice to the horns of the altar, and you make sure that you don't get in the way with unbelief or self-pity once the fire begins to fall. Hallelujah. And that fire will change you. In that fire, you will meet with God, who will change your life, who will change your will, your desires, your affections. You'll be solely for God and God alone. It is always at the altar that this happens, brothers and sisters. That is why the altar, spiritually speaking now, is the center of our worship, our praise, our coming together. Because that is where God's fire falls. That is where He meets with us, in that fire of purification. And so when another trial or crisis comes, you're going to realize that things cannot touch you as they used to do. Because this is the result of my holding onto the horns of the altar, and the fire on the altar has changed me, and nothing can alter that. Nothing can change my life, my commitment, because my eyes and heart are looking to Jesus. You see, tell God you're ready to be poured out as an offering. Tell Him. And God will prove Himself. He'll show you. He will do things through you and in you that you couldn't even dream about. So, brothers and sisters, it's not a time to run away. It's a time to hold on to the horns of that altar. That altar that is sacrifice. That altar where God meets with you and I. And there He will change your heart, your affections, your emotions. All of it is ultimately to do His will. You can do no greater thing than to do the will of God. Jesus came into the world to do only one thing, the will of the Father. And He knew the will of the Father because the Father revealed it to Him. And God will do exactly the same with you and I. He will reveal His will to you. And whatever revelation of His will to you He reveals, the grace to fulfill it will always be there. Because ultimately it is God in you with the hope of glory. It is the power of God in you working His will through you. And you will look back and you will have a testimony of where you will say, only God could have done that. Only God could have worked that through my life or that situation. Only God could have caused me to go that extra mile to help in that situation or to provide. Only God could work in me to become that doormat where people just trampled over me and used me and abused me. Only God can do that. You see? It's when we let go. All the while we hold on to our life, our circumstances, our worries, our fears, our anxieties, our dreads, our phobias, you name them, all the while we're holding on to them, it hinders the power of God working in and through us. Am I ready to be poured out as a drink offering? That's the question God has raised today, and you, brothers and sisters, are the only ones can decide that and answer that. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you today for your precious word. We all know in ourselves, in the natural, it's impossible. Nobody can live this. But we have seen and we know that you are Almighty God, and nothing is impossible with you. And all you ever ask of us is simply to believe. Like a child that just believes, that simple childlike faith. And on the basis of just that belief, what you do with that is amazing. And Father, I pray that we, all of us, will fulfill what you have said to us today. That we will allow you to work that in our lives, and whatever it takes. Father, we know that you would give nothing today if it was not possible. But you have said that all things are possible to them that believe. And we do believe today. That is why we're here. That is why we're in fellowship. That is why we're listening to your word. Because you have shown us it is possible. And so, Father, I thank you for this precious time. I thank you for these dear saints who come into the room. Lord, preserve, bless, keep them. Keep them from the enemy. Keep them from the evil one. Keep them above all from themselves. Keep their eyes looking to Jesus, who is the author, finisher of their faith. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. Give your traveling mercies over them. Let them be a blessing, Father, every day. Let them be lights in this world, in this lights of darkness, taking the good news of the gospel to their neighbor, their friend, their boss, their family. And Father, I thank you for the privilege to be able to share this word. I thank you for the building of this assembly. Lord, we cannot get our minds in the way of this, because in the natural this shouldn't work. We're all scattered. We all live in different areas. And yet here we are today, mightily blessed by your presence, by your word. And Father, we continue to pray and remember our brothers and sisters who are going through trial and testing and physical. Lord, we thank you that your word still stands over us powerfully, that by the stripes of Jesus Christ we were healed at Calvary, and that you will meet every need as we seek the kingdom. And so, Father, again we thank you for our fellowship, and I pray your blessing and preservation be on us always, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Till it finds fulfillment in the eye. see.